on this rainy, rainy evening, but it's going to be a wonderful evening now because our guests, my guests are here. Julie Flanders, Marina Balika, Emil Adler, reading from right to left as Hebrew would go. Don't even know what that means. I'm just so happy they're here. October Project. I've been playing them here and there since this show has been on the air about a year or so ago. And just fell in love with the band. I guess you started, what was it, 1992-ish or-ish?
Yeah, that's about right.
That's Marina, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We came together and began rehearsing songs and started to think about when we might play out for the first time, and it was the winter time, and we thought, well, October looks like a time that we might be ready, and hence the eventual naming of the group into October Project.
Was there a list of other names, and you just went through them and said October Project stuck, or you hadn't gotten to that point yet?
No, Plan 9 from Outer Space,
really?
We thought would be a fantastic name for the band. At least I did. No one else agreed. And we went through some really cool names. One of them was In Camera, to be absolutely honest. But we thought maybe that was a bit too, you know, intellectual.
Too.
It was too
okay.
Too. So we decided, okay, let's... how did it go again? You guys tell the story so well.
Well, actually, we had tried a bunch of really wonderful names, like The Fall or After the Fall. You know, these.
I think
really
there was a fall. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Everything we thought of, someone else had. And it didn't matter how, you know, strange it was, somebody else would have thought of that esoteric name. So then we were talking, and we thought, well, we should name it after something that matters to all of us. And we turned to Emil, the leader of the group, and we said, what matters to you, Emil? And Emil was very organized. And so he said, my file folders matter to me. So we decided to look for the name he had put on the file folder in which he kept the music. And it was October Project. And an important aspect of the name, which everyone always gets a little wrong, which is great, is everyone calls it The October Project or The October Project.
Well, I should say that the name of this program I call The October Project, but I put the V in there because it's the name of this episode of Dave's Gone By, but I know your band
is
October.
Well, we kind of like it when it happens, you know, and we just know there's a conservation of the's in the world, and we think that the got our the.
Oh, you know. That's right, they got two, so
they
you don't
two.
Get any. Well, again, thank you so much for dealing with the Long Island Railroad and coming out here and doing all that. Let me ask, I'm still trying to get my head together because it's been so crazy here as well. So I'll go just straight to my question. When you got started, and you have, if people have seen the album cover of the very first album, it's basically a child with, I hope it's sort of a bag on its head, or its real head. Maybe it's one of those kids that was separated like last week, and one of them just doesn't look as good as the other at the moment. But did you have to fight a perception, as it were? Because your music is lush and pop and beautiful, but there's a feel of gothic somewhere in there, or it seems to be, or maybe the marketing was as such. And was there the whole thing like gothic and witches, and how did you counteract that? Because it wasn't.
Well,
go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah.
Well, this is Julie talking. Yeah.
This is Julie, and actually, it was pretty funny when it started to happen because most of us are pretty lighthearted and spirited and silly, and so we had a PR person before our first interview, and Mary and I did the first interview, and we were prepped. Don't worry, they're just going to ask you things like, "What's your favorite color? What albums do you like?" La la la. This guy said, "Well, I think the whole band was going to do the interview, but he requested to speak to myself and Mary first," and we were on a speakerphone, and the first question he asked us is, "Are you Wiccans? Are you pagan priestesses?" And like, we looked at each other like, what are we supposed to do with this? So of course we immediately went with it. We're like, yes,
no.
We cast our spells on the full moon. You know, it was so silly.
Well, I should say you guys have nothing to do with that. And it's just, well, where did the music, though, come from? It's a certain particular sound. Even before the sound came together with a band, there must have been this concept of song. I mean, you're a member of ASCAP, Julie, I believe. So you've been a songwriter and poet before. Was there a difference when you started writing songs towards this quote-unquote project of, and this is also a question for Emil as well, of the sound of it, the feel of it? Was it suddenly a different kind of songwriting?
Well, you know, I think that the question, the musical part of that must go to Emil because he really creates the arrangements and works with the band on that aspect, whereas the songwriting question, we came out of a theater writing background, and October Project was our attempt to write pop, so it may have been our limitations which created that unique sound. You know, we really like theatrical music, and the structures of that and the complexities. And so, you know, theater music has to be immediately accessible, but also it has to have other layers. And I think that's one of the things that we bring. And we're both classically trained.
Right. And I haven't even said some of the more basic things about the band here, that Julie is the lyricist. I mean, I assume you all do a little bit of all of it, but you're essentially the lyricist. Emil is the composer. Marina is now the lead vocalist of the group. Marina, you partly said, hey, hi, Marina.
Hi. Marina is also an incredibly accomplished musician. She you know, did her degree in music at Yale and has contributed tremendously to one of the things the band is known for is harmonies. And Marina started the harmony goddess of the band, and was very, very instrumental in, you know, creating that part of the sound.
Cool. Let's play another song. Pick one from anything you pick is going to be wonderful. So pick one either from maybe the new EP. We've already played Long After Tomorrow and If I Turn Away. Any else?
Marina, what's your favorite on the new?
What's going on? Yeah.
How about The Mind's Eye?
Mind's Eye. That is the first track on the Different Eyes EP as engineered. We usually have a much more scripted show with you know, exactly what CD and when and where, but this is a different kind of thing. Playing it more...
We're jamming.
More casual. We're jamming.
Fast and loose.
Yeah. I hope you like jamming, too.
We do.
Good. Yes, they got it. They got it. Yeah. I love bands that get it. So here's October Project from their new EP, Different Eyes, first track on the album, The Mind's Eye. With us in the flesh at WGBB AM 1240 Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com, Marina Balika, Julie Flanders, Emil Adler. I keep switching the names around so everybody gets a chance to be first, but you're all first in my book.
Nice.
Okay, who wrote The Mind's Eye and why? And what were you trying to say with that song? Easy one. Go! 15 seconds.
Oh, you know, I think it's in a love song. Pretty much a love song.
A lot of your songs are.
Love song. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a love song and about that kind of falling in love where you fall in love and don't think ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to look back at what you didn't look ahead for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I've got to ask then the very typical question that you always get. Music or lyrics first, or both together, or what? Or verse first, then some of the music, then chorus. How do you guys work it?
When we first began, we were writing lyric first. And because, you know, the theater composers who we admired, you know, it seemed to be that's how they work. So we tried it that way. You know, we're just total beginners at it. And then we went in the other direction, and then we tried simultaneously. And now it happens more or less simultaneously. In other words, it'll be a short idea that'll come from one of us, and then we'll go to the other before we're finished. You know, in the old days, we were sort of more presentational. It's like, okay, I have this wonderful lyric I want to show you. And the lyric was absolutely complete, and you couldn't change it, and you had to set it. Or I'd come with a melody in the same way. So now it's much more easygoing. You know, I've got this sort of idea, and you can change this, or you...
Are you comfortable working? Because some people, like, you know, while they're physically working on the poem or the way, it's like, no, nobody's looking at it until it gets to this point. And then,
At this point in our collaboration, we no longer have that feeling, you know. And perhaps that was true many years ago, but it's not true anymore. We trust each other. We know how the other writes, and we know if... You know, if there's something weak we would never say, oh, this is weak. Not in the early stage, but if there is...
Don't want to sleep in the garage, yeah.
Right. But if it is, we know that at a certain point, it'll be a realization by the other, like, you can see this is going along real well here, and what do you think we need here? And,
right. You know, words you hate to hear.
Yeah. It's like, going to be a little, all right, you know, it's more positive, and it comes out just fine after a while.
Now, Marina, do you have any input in the structuring of the song, or do they come to you and say, okay, we've written it, and you're welcome to make, you know, if a word you feel singing is wrong, then let us know, but where do you come in, or are you earlier in the process?
Well, generally the songs are finished by the time I'm involved, and Emil's very liberal insofar as how it should be sung. I mean, I look to him and say, here's your melody, here's...
how I might sing it. Do you have something else in mind? But he's very attentive to the singing of the song and wanting it to be natural. And, you know, so if that means phrasing it in a particular way, he's very open to that. And I'd say historically what my involvement has been especially related to the harmonies, as Julie said earlier. It's something I've always been very much in love with. And in fact, you know, you suggested we bring some CDs of influential artists. All of the artists that influenced me most growing up were harmony groups like Simon and Garfunkel or Crosby, Stills and Nash and, you know, the Byrds and, you know, name them. But, yeah, so these days it's a lot of fun. Julie and I spend a lot of time considering harmonies, working on them. We actually even rehearse them a cappella, which I don't know too many vocal groups that do that, but we try and make them bulletproof. So in any circumstance, we can get that interval.
All right, you brought it up, and actually was brought up before the show. So before we get to another song on CD, if you guys are cool, if you're all, you know, rested up from the rain and whatever, you said that you might do an a cappella song for us. And I know you're three people sharing two mics, but you know, it's WGBB. It's better than tin cans.
Well, thankfully for your listeners, I won't be included in this particular one because I'm not in the rehearsals that she talks about. These two, you know, I come in a little later. It's sort of it raises the standard, and I'll come in much later, and they'll say, well, why don't you take this. This one note that none of us can hit because it's too low. Yeah, you have a note. I mean, don't complain.
No, now you could have a note in this song.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, boy, he gets a note.
There's a three-part harmony moment. If Emil will come in, it'll be nice. But you can hum it if you want.
And is there any room for comedy keys? This will make no sense to any of them, but to the listeners it will. This was part of a segment that you were on the railroad for. But if you need comedy keys, I've got them.
I think we all need comedy keys.
Yeah.
Every day.
Well, what key is it in? Is it
key of comedy?
Oh, thank
of course.
You. Yeah.
Funny.
Okay, so what song are we going to warble a cappella?
All right, this is Eyes of Mercy. It's from first album, and it's it'll be a much different vibe for people who are familiar with it from the album because it has a sort of hip-hop beat on the album. Of course, you're just going to hear the voices now.
Cool.
Hush, close your eyes, and I'll keep you safe. Allow you to weep and sing you to sleep. Don't be afraid. Remember I'm here. The noise in the street will soon disappear when the soft face of mercy is lost behind a veil. I will stay with eyes open, stay here with eyes open to watch over you and take away the silence and the fear. Hide in my arms and dream golden. Forgetting the world of man and machines. When the soft eyes of mercy are blinded by the dark, I will stay with eyes open, stay here with eyes open to watch over you and take away the sadness and the fear.
I'll be here. I'll be here.
And they are here in the studio, Marina Berlica and Julie Flanders. An a cappella version of Eyes of Mercy from October Project's first album called October Project. We also have, of course, Emil Adler in the studio as well. That was, of course, gorgeous. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, very much. So, to go from that beauty into a little bit of ugliness, let's tell the story of the good and the bad of October Project. You came out, you got a record deal. That's good. How did that happen? I mean, yeah. So many bands want that. At least you got that. What happened?
I think it was really a matter of playing. I mean, we played out in the clubs in New York City. I mean, there was no special magic to the process. By throwing ourselves in front of an audience as often as we did, we managed to find someone who wanted to manage us. You know, our manager saw us at one of those...
At CBGB's.
CBGB's Monday night, just, you know, go there and sing for a crowd of...
Joey Ramone.
Yeah.
Patti Smith.
Literally
natural audience for us.
Yeah, there were, like, barking dogs in the audience and bums who were barfing. Barking
dogs.
Well,
we'll have that here later if you still have it.
But anyhow, you know, we did that and we just kept at that. Well, once we got the manager on board, and we went to it's really simple. We went to a lawyer because now we have a manager, we need an agreement, and they were like, you have a manager interested, and the lawyer got interested, and then the lawyer and the manager were throwing our demo tape around, and suddenly there was a label interested, and within a couple of months,
there were a lot of labels interested
very, very fast,
and you chose Epic.
We chose
Epic. They chose you chose them, kind of mutual thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And first album came out and got, I assume, a lot of college airplay and a lot of independent and then that kind of airplay. So there was a second album, Falling Farther In, which is as good or if not better than the first. It's a wonderful, wonderful album.
Thank you.
Emil and I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Well, did you not? Why? Was the crowd, quote-unquote, reaction suddenly not as?
Well, you know, I think what I've noticed is that whatever order a person discovers the band in is the order in which they prefer it. And that's not just us, but I think whatever your first album with something was, you're like, oh no, Coldplay, Parachutes, that's the album. And then if you didn't come to it till the second album, you're like, no, you know. And I think more people heard the first album first because the second album wasn't really supported by the label. So,
right. Oh, so why not?
Well, there's two word answer: Michael Jackson.
Okay. Was he molesting Julian at that point? Or
pretty much.
I need to reiterate. Hi, Julian. Hi. Julian is the son of Emil and Julie. He's 7 years old. Nice to have you. Shout something.
Woo!
Thank you very much.
Beautiful voice.
That was
too.
An a cappella shout right before Dave's gone by, ladies and gentlemen. So, Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson's album, which had been promoted to a tune of something like $60 million, sold maybe 3 copies right about the time.
Oh, this is not, this we're talking about
and
the other
Epic
one.
Epic was his label. Yeah. So what happened was, as a result of that financial disaster, everyone was being fired and mid-level bands were being let go, which is what we were. So anybody whose career was moving up was suddenly in a different corporate environment. So that had a big influence on us because both our A&R person and product manager were moved during the process of our album coming out. So. Yeah. You know, there was nobody who knew us or had anything to do with our previous band working it when it came out.
Right.
You know, our product manager left 2 weeks before our album came out, and our person went to a different label within Sony. So it was, you need champions. And it's amazing that the album sold as well as it did in that circumstance. It was really about the fans. Fans supported us.
But okay, so because of corporate problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why then did the band not, since there were all those labels originally, why didn't you just stay all together and then find another, or working at Epic, or find another?
That's actually the perfect question. You know, I mean, that's a really good question, because a band staying together would probably just get, if you're dropped on a Monday, you'd be picked up on a Friday, but
I think there were other things working at the same time. I mean, we had been together already for about 5 years, and I believe that,
really,
I think this is true with any band. People, people want to begin to express their own musical muse, you know, their own inner voice, and so it was a good opportunity. It seems to I think it seemed to everyone to go off on a sidebar for a while. It's like, okay, so this isn't working out. This gives us a chance to find ourselves.
Well, Marina, you did a project called December. Is it a project or an album, or both an album and a project? Or
it began as an album title, actually. And, you know, I'm born in December, so it seemed like since we had a theme of months going on that I would just... it came to me in a dream, actually. One word, lowercase.
Okay. And then, the name we're not mentioning... and I'll only mention a little bit, but yes, the original singer was Mary Foley. Beelzebub, say it backwards. No, I'm kidding. Terrific singer. She's going on to a solo career now, and that's fine. And we're, you know, not going to make them. In fact, I think we have just a little piece of her music just to play, just so people know what she's up to now. Do we have that cue, Joe? Let's give a listen to that. There she is.
You see, that's the problem.
Well, listen to the chorus. The chorus is great.
Shoot me in the ass. Shoot me in the ass. Shoot me in the ass. Shoot me in the ass.
You see,
okay, yeah.
And I gave her the idea of shoot me in the ass.
That was
such an argument about that.
It's so uncredited. It's terrible.
I know. It's probably, I hate to say it, it's probably your best song.
I mean, to be fair to her, I said shoot me in the butt, and she was like, no.
No, my ass has such ass.
Yeah. Well, you can't really copyright the ass.
One cheek, you can. It's FCC rules. It's, yeah. No, that, by the way, was the late Wesley Willis, of course. But no. Just, we're not going to play him. Just wanted to get you guys with that.
Thank you.
Well done.
But then you get together with a different group called November Project. Okay, so you regrouped after a couple of years, and that came out, is it a full album or an EP? I never did get to hear it.
It was an EP.
So, okay, and it seemed like that was nice music. Yeah, you had it going on.
Yeah.
What happened again?
Well, that band was, you know, really musically wonderful and doing very well. And it was just, for a band to work, you have to have such an alignment of people's wishes and dreams. And just, it wasn't working on that level. You know, people wanted to go in different directions, and so we couldn't hold it together. And that's probably almost as important as, if not more important than the music is.
You know, you just have to realize that a band is a relationship times four or five. I mean, you know, if you've got a girlfriend or boyfriend, you know how difficult it is to decide on what restaurant to go to or what movie to go to.
Right.
Multiply that by four or five, and it you know, the
it's
same.
Kind of like a Mormon marriage.
Yeah.
You know.
The problem with that.
We're definitely stealing that line. It's definitely a Mormon marriage.
All right. Yeah. I get 10%.
Okay. Yes.
Well, I mean, so that, you know, October Project's good, and I suppose this happens with really popular bands, is that if you begin to go on, you go on in public, whereas a lot of bands do this sort of finding of the right people who are ready at this exact same moment in time to do exactly the same thing happens before their first album, and for some bands it happens after their first album, and so, you know, it's just, I think it's quite natural and to be expected, and, you know, it was just one of those relationships that didn't quite gel.
But the amazing thing is that once it happened, and then circumstances beyond your control make it unhappen to an extent, then it almost happened but didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then you went back and you did it again.
We're gluttons for punishment.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, but this seems to be the good time. This seems to be like building it slowly, having a great time.
Yeah.
It's the core. Is it, now, I do have to ask, this October Project, is it the three of you, is that the band, or is it also Urbano Sanchez and those guys? How does that all work?
Well, we're the core. We're the three diehards who said, we're doing it.
This is Marina talking about it.
Yeah, hi, and we're going back out and doing it. But we love Urbano and Dave and have maintained friendships, and absolutely they will perform and record with us as their schedules permit. It was kind of a natural progression coming together again. You know, you'd mentioned December Girl. Well, one of the things I really wanted to include on that was Return to Me. And so I thought, what could be more fun than just getting us all back together in the studio? And I asked Emil to produce it. and we came together in the studio that day, and it was a reunion. It was the first time we had been back together in that way in several years, quite a few years, actually, and had such a joyous time that I think it sparked the notion in our heads simultaneously, and we just went with the flow and found that we really did enjoy readdressing the old material and also starting to think of creating new material and a new record.
And then we were, we began, well, first of all, that track, Return to Me, which was recorded in a day, started to get airplay, and it went to number one at WBER in Rochester.
Cool.
And then Billboard wrote a little article about it. So we hadn't intended any of that. It just sort of was swelling up, and then we began performing, and we didn't really have a name, and then people were perceiving it as October Project. You know, it was obvious to everyone else. So over time, it became clear that, oh, well, we are October Project. It's us and David Urbano joining us, and, you know, so...
So the name just stuck again.
Yeah.
I mean, it made sense to go call yourself not December. Well, you had December. You have to be January something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mentally
Leap year.
Project.
Oh.
March hair.
Okay.
You couldn't, you know, and just, you know, although Dave, for instance, loved the process and loved the experience of being in the studio, you couldn't drag him out into the world of touring again. You know, he's just, he's over it. You know, so it wouldn't even have been an option had we wanted to bring back, you know, five-sixths or whatever it is, four-fifths of the original members. You know, it's like, well, it's a lot of fun, and call me on every occasion you think you want me to, you know, to play, and I'll decide whether at that moment I want to. You know, it's, but, you know, as far as committing myself to, you know, every tour and every promotional, you know, stop you make, we just can't do it.
Yeah, and we are going to segue into Return to Me. I know you set up that perfect segue, and we veered, but you also brought up just the point of doing concerts and live performances versus the studio. Do you, all this is open to all of you, have a preference for which you prefer doing?
Oh, man, well, that's easy for me. I like the studio. I like being
this
behind.
This is Julie talking.
This
no,
is Julie.
Yeah.
and I can answer for the ladies. They love performing. They love being on stage. And I think they like the studio as well. I mean, I'll obviously let them answer. Here they are. But, you know, for me, I'd much rather disappear. And I hear a lot of audience members feel the same way about me. So
but I'm bummed. I get my comedy keys for
radio
that.
Therefore being the perfect compromise for Emil, because he doesn't have to be seen, but he gets to be performing and have his recordings played. So, no, but I would say absolutely record. Well, I enjoy both, recording and performing.
Right. And Jules?
Well, I never did perform with October Project before, so it's very, very, very,
right.
very, very new for me.
That's right. You used to be on the sidelines or were watching the band. This is the first.
Uh-huh.
Did you have a certain shyness to overcome? I mean, you've done theatrical work, so you didn't have to worry about that.
But
singing is different. Yeah.
Music is really different. So, yeah, still.
Okay. Well, now we'll get to the segue that we were going to get to a couple of minutes ago, and we're going to play not off the original October Project, which you should all have in your libraries, and the second album as well, and the new EP. This is off an EP, the first thing like you did when you got back together, right? This is the three collection called Three.
Well, it was on December Girl, and then we had it on a sampler that we put together when we reformed called Three.
Cool. So from Three, Return to Me. And hear all about it on Dave's Gone By right now with just a few more precious minutes with the wonderful group October Project. Marina Balika, Emil Adler, Julie Flanders with us. They made it from the train. Thank God they did. They did a lovely a cappella song for us, playing some tunes from their CDs. Since we don't have that much time, I've got to do some plug-ola here. So talk to me about Joe's Pub. Talk to me about Lofts. Talk to me.
Well, we do have a performance this Thursday at Joe's Pub in New York, but that's sold out, so we'll be back. We'll keep everybody informed. We have a concert coming up in November, two concerts, a Friday and Saturday night, November 14th and 15th at a private loft in Soho. We play Unplugged, and we're having the band Feather Merchants join us. We'll be singing some new material, so it's going to be quite a night, and you can find out all about it on our website.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Octoberproject.net. Not .com, .net. Octoberproject.net. And you can also buy like T-shirts and mugs of the band. And I did want to get into this question, because not only can you buy Different Eyes, and I think you still have copies of Three available on this.
Oh,
they're sold out. Wow. But you can also still get their first two albums on there. Now, should people... Because I think I talked to you about this on the phone while we were setting this all up, Julie, that you know, epic screwed you and all that sort of thing. So when you
said... Well, I never said something like that in public, ever.
Okay, well, I made that up. I made that part up. Epic things screw you. They're a wonderful company.
Now we have to go into the witness protection.
No, I'm not kidding. But in
wasn't
other words...
their fault.
But you had mentioned something about, and maybe I shouldn't be talking about, when they sell still October Project albums, you guys don't really get anything from that.
Well, that wouldn't just be us. That's sort of endemic to the music industry.
Right, okay, it isn't
and
just epic.
It's still good for us when albums sell, because
it is, okay.
The fact that an album scans, that you buy it in the store and it scans, just helps keep an awareness of the band and kind of a viability when you go to play in a club, that kind of thing.
But if people buy it from your website...
Makes no difference.
It really does. You don't get any extra frisson from
we
that.
Just do that as a convenience for fans.
Oh.
I think it sends them to Amazon, right? Or something like that?
No, they actually buy them through us.
Oh, sorry.
We just try to make everything easy. So
and you do tack on that $9 October Project surcharge. No, I'm kidding. But all right, buy from the website anyway. I've got only a few... a couple of minutes left. My gosh, I've got to close up here. So first of all, just have to do some business here. I want to thank my engineer, Joe Salzone. Please listen
Yay,
to
Joe.
Your World. Hey, Joe! Yay! Epic screwed him, too. They don't even know him. 6 p.m. Sunday nights. Listen to his show also 11 o'clock Sunday nights. And I think he's doing a show tonight at 11 on GVB AM 1240. Give a listen also to Long Island's Dating with Bonnie D. Graham, Friday nights at 6. Special Halloween show this Friday, where Bonnie will be interviewing John Hogue, author of a book on Nostradamus. I predict a winner. Friday night at 6. By the way, did you hear that members of the Mepham High School football team have been consulting with a clairvoyant about their problems? Yeah, his name is Nostray Anus. Thank you very much. Where are my keys?
Oh my.
I'm sorry, I had to do that. There are the keys. Also, thank you very much to the Tandoor Grill, Northern Indian Food, 222 Sunrise Highway, next to the Dance Studio, right across from the Rockville Center train station. www.tandoorgrill.com. Leave off the last I for India-licious. Yes, I have to also thank my sweet and beautiful wife, Joyce, for all her support and comfort.
Yay.
Thank you, Joyce. Yay! Thank all of you for listening, and my very, very, very special guests this evening, October Project, Emil Adler, Julie Flanders, Marina Balika. Buy their EP, Different Eyes, and buy it from their website, October Project.net. You can also, as I said, get their first album, second album, read a whole bunch of articles about them, too. And let me end this show with a little bit more of their music. I also want to say that tune in next week, totally different program here. I'm going to be doing something called Dr. Dave Mento. I fulfilled one dream with this episode by having one of my favorite bands on the show. Next week, I get to salute a radio host who's been both an icon and an enormous influence. No, I'm not going to have Dr. Demento on the show, maybe someday, but for one evening, I'm going to be Dr. Dave Mento, playing some of the best and funniest novelty songs ever committed to disc. So, that's next week, Monday, November 3rd, 6:30 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB and AM 1240 WGBB.com. So that'll be our 50th episode. We've got one more minute. Play a little October Project to play us out. In fact, that'll be my end music today. Have a great night, folks. See you next week. Thank you, October Project. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.